Well, good evening. Holiday time and different routine, different face up front. We'll have a very mini session over the next, or tonight and next Wednesday as well. And we'll be looking at the topic of the Bible. And tonight's message is entitled, We Need the Bible. So how about we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to give your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to do so. And help us never to take that for granted. We pray for this message tonight. In particular, I pray for myself that I'll just have that liberty to be able to give the word freely and as you would have me to give it. And we pray that both preacher and listener alike will be blessed from the expounding of the word of God tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We won't have an initial reading just yet. We'll be embedding passages and portions of Psalm 119 into our message tonight. But if you want to look up Isaiah 55, we'll get there in a very short while. The waters outside of Cairns Harbour are full of treacherous shoals or corals, whatever you like, reefs that are under the water, can't be seen, but they are definitely there and they spell disaster to any ship that runs into them. To provide a safe passage for any vessel that's going into the harbour, they have placed a pathway of buoys, and it's a very wide pathway, of course, because it has to accommodate ships, but it acts as a guide. It is particularly spectacular of a night time because those buoys light up, and I can tell you where you have absolutely pitch darkness and there's this pathway of lights and the ship is going through that pathway. It's a very interesting sight, a very spectacular sight. And I was very privileged to see that one time. A wise captain wouldn't dare go outside of those markers, of those lights, knowing that disaster would be waiting for the ship that went astray. In the spiritual realm, the need to trust in some source of direction in life that's outside of our own understanding is even more important. The only trustworthy source that reveals the heart of God towards man is the Bible. Most importantly, the Bible points us to Jesus Christ. But it is also a very important source for direction in life and many other needs that we'll be looking at just briefly tonight. Understand this is a massive topic, and so we're just mountaintop hopping. We need a source of guidance outside of ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now that's a quote from Isaiah 64. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just keep that image of those lights heading into Cairns Harbour in your mind. It shows us the way to go and keeps us away from danger. The Bible is the only scripture that faithfully reveals what God is like. Any other so-called religious writing might tell you how to live according to their idea, but it doesn't really reveal the true heart of God. Only the Bible does that. Now we can turn to Isaiah 55. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And in verse 8 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That's why we need to know the Bible. That's why we need to read it every day. And it needs to be a part of our life. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God keeps his promises, and there are promises that are for the one who is the individual who is reading God's word. God keeps his promises to you and to me. And the word of God is full of God's promises to us. The word of God gives us direction. It shows us the right path to take. In Psalm 119, verse 105, and if you want to turn to Psalm 119, we'll be going there and quite often. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need God's word to know his will. And it, as has been said on previous occasions, it's not going to tell you what car to buy. It's not going to tell you what house to live in. It's not going to tell you who to marry. It'll give you principles to follow, though. And it'll give you principles in relation to the type of person that you should marry. It will give you principles in terms of how you should buy that car, what you should not do to buy that car or to get that car. Okay. There are principles of righteous living that we need to follow, that the Word of God shows us and displays to us. Psalm 119 again, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That should be the prayer of our heart. And we should be desiring every day, we should be praying that every day, that we will have the victory over sin, that we will have the victory over temptation. Through God's word, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to follow the right path. We can know what's right. We can desire to do it. But if we look at Romans 7, Paul had a struggle. And it's a struggle that we all have. We know what is right, but we need the power to do it. And when we have God's word in our heart, it's, you know, the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon to be used against temptation, against the wiles of the devil. When we have the word of God in our heart, then we have a weapon that is able to defeat Satan. We need God's word to obey his will. Otherwise, how are we going to know what God's will is? dealing with temptation, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, the way I was taught it, we skip verse 10, but let's read verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. That should be our desire. We want to know what God has to say to us. And we find that out from God's word. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. God's word gives us the freedom to choose what is right and not to be bound by the sinful actions of the world, the flesh and the devil. Okay, we have those three enemies, the world, the flesh and the devil. And they're powerful. The drawing of the attraction of being accepted by the world is very strong. And I think, not that I plan to think of this illustration, it's just popped into my head, but you know, particularly teenage girls love to be accepted and they like to dress well. What actually drives them to wear a pair of jeans that's bought from the shelf that's got rips in it? I cannot understand that. I mean, I've got jeans that have rips in the knees as well, but they're 40 years old, you know. It's the attraction of the world. And it's the drawing of being accepted. And that's why they do it. The Word of God gives us the power to overcome that. The Word of God gives us the power to overcome the drawing of the flesh, and that can be very strong. The Word of God gives us the power to oppose the devil when he attacks. It gives us the ability to stay on the right path. The Word of God enables us to focus on the right path amidst the many noises and distractions that are around us. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. A lot of people don't understand what's going on in the Middle East right now. And sure, they're listening to the media and they're getting distorted views there, but they just don't understand what's going on. If this word tells you what's going on, you know, I've heard it said, I've probably said it, the Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It tells us what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. And the Bible explains to us, if you have a knowledge of the Word of God and of the history of Israel, there is no question about this business of Israel being settlers or being colonialists. The land was theirs for way, way, way back. You know, we're talking thousands of years. But people who don't know God's word hear all the rantings that go on about what's happening today, and they believe it. And so the minds of people are distorted in relation to the political situation that's happening, but it's also a very spiritual situation that's happening. Okay, there has always been a hatred towards the people being in the land. Wasn't such an issue when before 1948, but when they came back into the land, then the heat really started to turn on. And we can understand why. We've seen it in the history of the Bible as well. Right from the very time when there were attacks on Abraham's family, and the battles that have gone on when the people were back in the land when they'd come out of Egypt. It's a spiritual battle. It's not just a political thing. The Word of God helps us not only to be on the right path, but to stay on the right path. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. God gives us the ability to turn away from the alluring lights and sounds that would draw us away from God. I have another illustration. This goes way, way back. The first car I ever owned was a 64 Beetle. It was 15 years old at the time when I bought it. But before I bought it, I was travelling with a previous owner. This was long before I came to Condell Park. I was a very new believer. And so there were still some things about loyalty in relation to, you know, consistently coming to church that I had to learn. And I was involved in a group that did caving, okay? The fancy word for that is speleology. That means you dress up in overalls and you go down into the mud and the muck inside a hole in the ground and crawl around and think you have a wonderful time doing it. But you had to go long distances to get there, you know, like places like Tumut or even the other side of Jenolan Caves. To me, Jenolan Caves, that's not a cave, that's a very fancy hall, because you have steps and you have lighting. That's not a cave to me. But driving this 64 Beetle, okay, now you have to understand that a 64 Beetle had a battery. It did have a battery, but it was only a 6-volt battery. And the lights were not what you call very bright. I will tell you another aspect. It did have a windscreen washer, but if you had to use that windscreen washer too much, eventually it would stop. And it wasn't because you didn't have water in the reservoir. It was because the air in the spare tire had just been deflated, because that's where you got the power to operate or squirt the water onto the windscreen. It came from the spare tire. So driving along the road on a country road, and not necessarily great big highways, and it was dark, and cars would be coming in the opposite direction, I found it a bit traumatic at times. And the lights, particularly if it was a truck and the lights were up high, I'd be almost blinded, and, you know, you're weaving and turning on a country road. And I said to the one who was with me, you know, I can't see. And the answer was, look at the markers. On the edge of the road, often, if it was a reasonable road, there would be reflectors, okay? And I learnt this little saying to know where I was in relation to those markers. Reds are left, you can take that any way you like, and whites are right, okay? And I kept that in mind. Reds are left, whites are right. And if I stayed in between those two and didn't get them mixed up, I was all right. Okay, I was safe. So when we are on the right path, we're safe. The Bible shows us how to stay on that path. And we can have confidence in it. Just like I trusted in the where I was in relation to those reflectors on the road. Okay? Even more so, we can trust God's word. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. God's word gives strength for the inner man. When circumstances seem to oppress us, God's word enables us to face the most difficult circumstances. You might be wondering what you're going to do. You have no answer. But the word of God might not give you exact answers in relation to, you know, who to marry, what to do, what job to take, but it'll give you the principles. And it'll point you to the God who will guide you and show you those things. God gives us strength for the inner man. And that's a very important thing. We need to be resting in something that is stable and trustworthy. Okay, that's God. But we learn what God is like through the word of God. Gives us wisdom. And we can understand trials. Now, I've hinted at that already. But God's word helps us to understand the purpose of trials and afflictions in our lives. Verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Affliction and difficulties are designed to cause us to cease relying upon ourselves and to direct us back toward the word of God, because it is his word that reveals his nature to us. Verse 72, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The word of God directs us away from trusting in ourselves and to cause us to trust in him. Verse 92, unless the law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And sometimes that trouble and that trial can be overbearing. Sometimes it's because of mistakes or sin that we have committed. And the word of God gives us the direction as to how to deal with that. But sometimes the affliction is because we have stood for God. We're going through trials and tribulations because we have stood for the Lord. And God gives us the ability to go through that. He doesn't show us the way around the problem. He shows us the way through the problem. Through precepts given in the scriptures and through the historical account of Jesus' encounter with individuals in the Gospels, we learn that trials and afflictions have a purpose and that we can draw closer to God even when we are faced with the difficulties of life. As we learnt last Sunday night, I'm quoting, God works in varying ways to bring people to faith and to grow and strengthen the faith of his people. The word of God gives us wisdom, giving a godly response to opposition. God's word enables us to give a godly response as opposed to a fleshly response when we are under attack. And I have to confess, I am very, very easily provoked to giving a fleshly response. And that's why I need God's word in my heart. Verses 41 to 42, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And then verses 98 to 100. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And in verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. There is joy in knowing the Word of God and the God of the Bible. Knowing the God of the Bible brings joy. Psalm 119, verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The Word of God shows us what we really get delight in. And that will show you what you love. And our love should be for the Lord. And we get to know him more and more through God's word. Some other very short, quick aspects of the word of God. God's word is pure. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. God's word is truth. Verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word gives peace. 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I want to just quickly look, if it is a quick look, at a word that comes up very much in Psalm 119. And it shows that the Word of God gives life. It's the word quicken. Okay, that's what that word means. If you're quick, you're not dead. If you're dead, you're not quick. Okay, that's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but very true. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Give me life, the life that matters through thy word. Verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. That's a good verse when you're staring at the TV. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. If you have God's word in your heart and there's opportunities that come up to share the word of God with someone or to give a testimony, the word of God is very helpful, right? It'll give you just the right thing to say. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Psalm 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. And in verses, backing up a little bit, verses 49 through to 56, we see that there is the concept of comfort. God's word gives us comfort, gives us peace. This is my comfort in my affliction, verse 50. For thy word hath quickened me, gives life, but it also gives comfort. Verse 154, we read, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. The concept of life is very strong in Psalm 119. The concept of life in the word and from the word is very strong. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. 156. Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The Bible also points us to Jesus, as I mentioned in my introduction. He is the giver of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. in dealing with the Pharisees' unbelief regarding his deity, Jesus pointed them to the scriptures. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The word of God points us to Jesus. Even right from the very beginning, even from Genesis all the way through. And we, in this dispensation, we have the privilege of seeing that. Okay? Those in the past, in under the law, they could see Messiah was coming, but they didn't have a name for him. Okay? Other than Jehovah. But we can look back and we can see how the Word of God points to the person of Jesus Christ. You only have to go to the book of Isaiah and you'll see the Christ all the way through it. It's a very strong gospel book in the Old Testament. In dealing with the Pharisees' unbelief, I've already mentioned that, sorry. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. To Peter's confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Lord said, I'll back up a little bit in verse 15, Matthew 16, verse 15. Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay, the Word of God shows us that Jesus is the Christ. Of all the great blessings of the Bible, the greatest blessing is that it shows the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful heritage in the Word of God, and we need to desire it and hunger for it and to be in it every day. Amen. Now, I need to finish, sorry to finish this way, but I need to finish with an announcement that next week we will be giving a DVD. I'll be showing a DVD that is a backup to this, but it is showing it from a natural, general revelation perspective, all right? But think of the illustration that I gave of the ship going into Cairns. It's similar to that, but it's not got nothing to do with ships. So with that little tantalizer, I hope that you'll come back next week and watch it. But it gives us a very good principle that we need to trust in something that is outside of ourselves. We cannot trust ourselves. And the only thing outside of ourselves that is trustworthy is the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that men of old gave their life to have this Word translated into our language. And there was a fierce battle in days gone by to keep the Word of God locked up in a language that nobody understood. We thank you for those who have translated the Word into the language of people around the world, and they are still doing it. And we pray that we will value the privilege that we have in having the Word of God in our hands. Help us to teach it not only to ourselves, but to our families, to our children. Thank you for the school that is here, that teaches the Word of God to the children here. But help us not to just leave it with the school. It's the not just the privilege, but it's the requirement of every parent to teach their children the Word of God. Lord, help us to be faithful to thy word. Help us to be meditating on it, and let it be alive in our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.